Maybe it was earlier this weekend. Maybe it was last week. Maybe it was sometime this month. But you've encountered someone that is in the middle of trouble, in the middle of pain, or maybe even in the middle of what seems to be an insurmountable task of some sort or another. But you're taken back by their words, and you're surprised to hear them say that, and this would be quoting Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You know how big their trouble is. You know how deep the pain is in the situation that they're walking through. You really understand, or at least have sympathy for whatever regret they must be feeling, or whatever loss or hurt or struggle that they're walking through. You get it. It's bad. Or when it comes to a big task, you know just how big it is. Yet, they say, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You're surprised that they can say that. Why? Because you're uncertain about your own strength and your own courage in those situations. And maybe for you this morning, you can ask you can think about what it is that you're dealing with. What's coming up for you that is completely outside of your control? Maybe there's something that's way too big for you. It's too much to handle. You don't want to deal with it. Or maybe even the pain is just too great. And maybe you wonder, deep down in your heart, how could my heart ever possibly say those same words? I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You wonder on the inside, how could I say that? Well, how could you? Today we're going to look at a passage from the Old Testament. We're looking at Joshua chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 1 through 9. Joshua 1, 1 through 9. So let's pray, and then we're going to have the reading of God's Word. You're welcome to open up the Bible that you brought. We have pew Bibles in front of you. If you have an app that you use on your smartphone or tablet, feel free to bring that up. We'll also have the words on screen, so we are at no loss for God's Word this morning. All right, this is Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This is the word of the Lord. For those of you unfamiliar with the Old Testament, I want to get you up to speed on where we are in God's grand story. In the beginning of the Old Testament, we have Genesis. And in Genesis, we find out about creation. We also find out about the first two living human beings, Adam and Eve. It's during that time that Adam and Eve decided to go their own way. They decided to go against God's command, and they ate from a tree that they were not supposed to eat from, and because of that, they have brought sin upon all of humanity, so that all of humanity is suffering under the curse of sin. So that happens right at the beginning of the Bible. We can fast forward in Genesis a little ways, and we encounter Noah's Ark and the flood, where God wipes out all but the people on the boat because of iniquity. We can fast forward from there, and we can encounter things like the Tower of Babel, where God separates the people because they were trying to reach up into the heavens. But once we get towards the middle, or a little past or so, of Genesis, we encounter a man named Abraham. And God makes him some big promises. "Through you, all of the world will be blessed. Through you, I will make you into a great nation." So we have Abraham, and Genesis follows through Abraham and his seed, his children, and over the course of time, they end up dealing with famine in the land that they are living in, and they end up going to Egypt. And now we're getting closer to this story here. In Egypt, the people of God were very prosperous, and the Egyptians ended up turning against them and enslaved them. But we have a gracious God, and he rescued his people by sending Moses. And Moses brought the people out of Egypt, and the whole intention was that they would go to the promised land. Now, the people during Moses' day, they were stubborn. And because of this, they ended up having to walk in the wilderness. Now, we're reaching the end of the wilderness time. And Moses is in charge. And when Moses was 120 years old, he spoke to the people and he said, "You will take possession of the promised land." He tells them to be strong and courageous. He lets them know that Joshua will lead you across the Jordan River into the promised land that you are going to take for your own. Joshua was one of Moses' top assistants, and he was one of a handful of spies that went over the Jordan into what's going to be the promised land to stake it out and to look around and to see what was happening over there. Is this going to be tough? Or are we just going to be able to walk in? And most of the other spies came back saying that the people, in the land that they were to inherit, the people there were too powerful. They were large like giants. They had large cities that were fortified. And those other spies said, "We can't do it because they are stronger than we are." But not Joshua. Joshua and one other came back with a positive attitude about it. Yes. Yes, that land is going to be ours. So, Moses died, and now Joshua is in charge. And for Joshua, it's time to lead. He's going to lead Israel in the conquest of Canaan, that promised land. And Joshua, he almost seems to be like a military general or commander leading the whole nation across to take the promised land. But like I said, the other spies did not see this going well. Those people on the other side, they're too powerful, they're too big, they can't do it, they're stronger than we are. But yet, here in our text, the beginning of Joshua, God says, I will give you every place you set your foot. It will extend far and wide, and no one will be able to stand against you. God will work in the life of Joshua, and God's plans and purposes will take place. They will happen. When we think about our own lives, we can also know that God will work. He'll work in all of our ups, and he'll work in all of our downs, for we are children of God. We are children of God. We are repenting, trusting, faithful Christians who have bowed down our knee, given up our will so that we can follow God's will in Christ. And because we are repenting, trusting, faithful believers, we have some wonderful promises. We have promises of salvation. We have promises of new life. We have promises of every spiritual blessing. And we also have promises of mercy and peace and grace. And we can go on and on and on about the wonderful work that God will do in our lives. But yet, maybe your heart is not singing, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And maybe when it comes to God, this last while, or maybe even for a long while, you've been feeling like you are distant from the Lord. You're feeling cold even when it comes to God. And sure, your life is filled with Christian things, but it hasn't translated into a vibrant life with Christ. Maybe you're in that place. Well, God gives Joshua some biblical direction here, and I think that it can be applied to us too. He tells Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Through Joshua's ups and downs, every step, every struggle, God will be walking with him. God will be with them as they cross the Jordan, as they go to Jericho, all the way until his death at 110 years old, God is with Joshua. So, Joshua needs to take heart. Never forget. Don't neglect this wonderful truth that the Lord is with you. Remind yourself over and over and over again that God is near. Again, these are things that we can apply to our own lives too. Maybe, like I said, you're feeling alone or you're feeling far away from God, disconnected from him even. But I'm here to tell you that your feelings are unreliable. Your feelings are unreliable. Your feelings cannot determine the truthfulness that God is with you and he is close. In fact, we hear in Scripture that in all of creation, neither death nor life, angels, demons, the present or future, any power, height, or depth can separate you from the love of God found in Jesus. Like I said, we have some wonderful promises. Even if we're not feeling it, our feelings can be wrong and unreliable. God is near. So maybe you're asking yourself, what's the deal? Why doesn't your heart line up with what you know to be true? Maybe in your headspace, it makes sense. Yes, God is near, but in your heart, you're just not feeling it. You know the Lord is with you, but still you struggle and you wonder, am I really strong and courageous? Well, we can ask ourselves in our day-to-day lives, what is filling our hearts day-to-day? What is filling our hearts day-to-day? Is your heart full of busyness? Is your heart full of distraction? Is your heart full of worry? We could go through a thesaurus and list off all kinds of different ideas, but you name it, and are you filling your heart with those things? Our message today is that we need to fill our hearts differently. We need to be filled with Christ. Not busyness, not distraction, not worry, but Christ. We need to be filled so that we know Him, so that we obey Him, and like Joshua's call, so we don't turn to the right or to the left, and so that we are successful in serving Him in everything that He calls us to do. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about habits of grace. Habits of grace. We have grace unto salvation. Not anything that we have done, but God has graciously given us salvation in His Son Jesus. And we know this to be true. We've repented, we've bowed the knee to Christ, we've put our faith and trust in Christ, not just for one day, but for some of us, it could be we've been in this place for weeks. For others, it could be years, and for others, it could be you could be thinking lifetime. I've known Christ my whole life. So we have this grace unto salvation that was purchased by Christ on the cross for us, dying for our sins. After receiving the grace of salvation, we also know that that grace does not stop. But now, as disciples of Jesus, we could say that we are empowered by grace. This work is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're empowered by grace so that we grow as disciples. And with this Holy Spirit-led, grace-empowered movement, it's our call to get intentional with our habits, to put ourselves in God's path. And when we do that, we will see God's work in our lives. Well, what habit do we see in this text? A grace-empowered habit. The one that sticks out to me is meditation. God tells Joshua, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night." That's interesting, right? Joshua, his job, his calling, His God-given role is to lead a people across a river with military conquest. And what does God have him do? If you are sending somebody across on a military conquest, you would want them to know the battle plans. You would want them to be able to teach some different fighting techniques, or maybe have some military training that would prepare you to lead these people. But what does God have Joshua do? Get into the Word and meditate on it day and night. This is what you will need to be strong and courageous, to meditate on the Word. Now, biblical meditation is different than the meditation that we hear about in our world today. Worldly meditation is about clearing your mind. It's about simply being, some sort of passive awareness. We're talking about breathing and posture and mindfulness, these kinds of things. Well, that's worldly meditation, but what we're talking about here is biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is filling yourself up down to your heart with biblical and theological substance. It's truth from Scripture, not truth from within ourselves. It's feeding our hearts, our souls with God's Word, savoring God's Word, enjoying God's Word, and cherishing it. It's letting the Word digest slowly into your heart. It's slowing down. It's putting the remote control down. It's turning off the background noise. It's putting down your phone. It's turning off your notifications. It's making space. It's pausing so that you can spend some time with God's Word, reflecting on it, chewing on it, looking at it from all different angles. It's deep thinking about God's Word and about God's wonderful plan in Christ. Last week, I invited you to think about reading through lots of Scripture, and that is a very good thing for a Christian to do. To do the Bible in a year, or some of those different things where you're looking through lots of Scripture. That is a good thing for us, but we also must spend some time meditating on the Word. How might you get started with that? How might you chew on God's Word? Maybe later on today, there's going to be a verse that pops in your mind. And if it does, I would invite you to let it keep popping into your mind. Write it down so you don't forget. And this whole week, take some time to think about that one verse or that one phrase from Scripture. Maybe this is some Scripture that you have memorized. Maybe it's something that stuck out to you as you were reading your Bible earlier this week. And it's a simple invitation just to spend some time with it, to think over it. And maybe at first, this is just going to be for a few minutes at a time. Just spending time with it. That's somewhere to start when it comes to meditating on God's Word. The Word of God should not seem cold to us, but rather, the Word of God should be warm to us, even hot. That it lights us on fire so that we come to know Jesus more and more. Listen to this from Colossians 3:16. We hear this: let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's what we're talking about here. Letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Or how about Jesus' words in Matthew 4:4? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Like I said, maybe you've been struggling this last while. And maybe you wonder, how do I have that radical Christian life where I can say, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And you're wondering, well, what's missing in my life? Is there a missing link? Perhaps this might be it. You have not been meditating on God's word. You have not let God's word sink in down deep. With God's word sinking in deep into our hearts, we will have a new direction because we have new life in Christ. We will have new life patterns. All because of Christ. And God will continue to form what we care about. And with God's word, we'll also be moved into action so that we do His will. We will be richly blessed if we let God's word sink in deep so that whether we're facing ups or downs, we too will be strong and courageous, proclaiming, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Like I said, choose a passage. Choose a verse. It could even be a verse that we read today. Decide to walk with it this week. Make reminders for yourself to stick with it. I would invite you to keep going back to that well and drawing from the water of life. And look out and see what God will do in your life. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you not only for providing us grace unto salvation, but Lord, you have also given you've empowered us with your grace so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will grow as Christians. With the Holy Spirit, Lord, we know that that the Word becomes understandable to us, and that we can dive into the depths of it. Lord, guide us. Show us your will and your ways. Lord, make us strong and courageous. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.